But, Mr. Hamm continues, clearly our culture desperately needs the answers and reminders that challenge people to return to the authority of God's Word. And I believe, going on, one of the greatest reminders to draw a lost generation back to faith in God is Noah's Ark. Whether people are Christians or non-believers, nearly everyone has heard of the account of Noah's Ark. Guests will see the Bible come to life as they experience the sights and sounds of the fascinating exhibits at this one-of-a-kind attraction. So this will bring the backslidden, wandering Christian, and apparently as you read the letter and what he's just said in context, even the lost sinner to faith in God, a central experience. I mean, he said the sights and sounds are going to do it. You experience the sights and sounds, not of preaching, but other sounds. I don't know what they are, probably animal sounds and things like that. They should have gone all the way and tried to get some smell in there. Appeal to all of the different senses that way. Central experience, the sights and sounds of Ham's multimedia ark encounter. This is going to do it. Bring them back. What does he say? Faith to faith in God. A lost generation. A lost generation. Believers and unbelievers, apparently, back to faith in God. They tour the largest wood frame structure in the world, which proves, well, bluntly putting it, as many in the world will see it, even if they do go to the ark, it proves that someone figured out how big a boat it would take to house representatives of each kind of animal in this world at that time. This is the wisdom of man, the scriptures decry, and the apostle condemned. That's what they'll see. It's good to know that. But how is that going to bring them to faith in God? They say, well, so someone wrote this story. Well, we don't believe it's the Word of God, or maybe they believe some of the, some say some of it is the Word of God, some of it is just, I mean, it's all written by men, so some of it maybe really is what God would have them write, and other things aren't, and it's been changed, and it's been, but sure, someone, they might say, came up with this story and about this boat, and sure, I can see that. That doesn't mean it actually happened, they'll say. Nor is it going to, that boat, bring them to faith in God. What Mr. Hamm has claimed about the backslidden Christian, the central power of his ark encounter experience, seeing the Bible coming to life by the ark and the exhibits of the animals and so forth, the sights and the sounds, he apparently also believes is true about the unsaved. In an editorial, I believe I already quote it once, we will powerfully show that just as the account of Noah's flood did actually happen, so did the rest of what we read in the scriptures, especially the gospel message preached by Christ in the New Testament. How do you show that by the ark? How do you show that it actually happened? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says, we will show them. They will have these sights and sounds, and this will draw a whole lost generation of faith in God. These sights and sounds, they experience this fascinating exhibits, one-of-a-kind attraction. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, the verse 17. Ephesians 1, the verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, Christ, after that ye heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1, verse 16. Is that our testimony? I hope that is. Doesn't seem to be the testimony of the AIG people. They don't seem to believe that the gospel, just the gospel of Christ, that's the power of God. That's the wisdom of God and the salvation of men. And if our gospel be hid, Paul said, and I already read it, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we don't resort to arcs and say, well, this physical structure, these models of animals, and this that we proved it's possible to build a boat like this and get these animals in, somehow that is going to unblind their minds? At the grand opening of the Ark Encounter, Hamm also spoke of how the AIG Ark is, quote, making the Bible come alive. I want to just say a few words on that. The Word of God does not need to be brought to life. The Word of God is not dead. It's only a dead letter to those dead in trespasses and sins. Ken Ham's art cannot bring the Bible to life in the heart of a fallen man or woman or young person, aside from all theatrics and all of this, these sensual visual things. That's the wisdom of man again. Scriptures are the sword of the Spirit, who effectually works in the heart with the Word of God itself, not with extravagant visual displays such as this structure. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, Hebrews 4, verse 12, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Quick and powerful. That means it is living, it is quick. It also quickens lost sinners to life. The Word of God, the gospel preached. 1 Corinthians 2, the verses 1 through 5, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, that is the wisdom of man again, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Going to people living in a culture like ours, people like the people in the world today, around us. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. When he first took the gospel to Corinth, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, of men, which is no faith then, but in the power of God. Let me say this. I am fine with simple graphics, displays, pictures in the proper place, used the proper way for the proper reason, which explained to Christians or anyone else how the ark could have contained all that it did and why it was seaworthy. But to make these claims about this extravagant, expensive display, to make these claims and preach this false doctrine concerning it, this is not acceptable. This is offensive to God. And to claim that backslidden Christians are reclaimed, and worse, that the gospel is proved to be true and lost sinners brought to life by such things, let alone by the sights and sounds of these things, and that it supposedly makes the Bible come alive, this is grossly unscriptural. It must be offensive to the Lord. Independent research going on, he doesn't say who, indicates that upwards of 2 million people will visit the ark in the first year. The nationwide study also revealed that a significant percentage of ark visitors will not be familiar with the Bible or its life-changing message. Just a few words on that. He doesn't mention who did that research. And a significant percentage is a subjective phrase which depends upon the opinion of the one uttering it. This, of course, is, again, this fundraising technique. It's of that technique that's being used today by these sort of new evangelical ministries. A significant, what does it say, percentage of the ark visitors of the 2 million will not be familiar with the Bible or its life-changing message. Well, if a deadly plague suddenly swept across America in a number of days and killed 1% of the population, that would be a significant percentage who died. In Monroe, it would be 100 people. Well, let's just give the results of the nationwide study, that percentage. The answer may be self-evident. So, from that, he goes on, what an incredible evangelistic opportunity. Just imagine millions of non-believers now. Jumps to that. Visiting the ark and realizing for the first time that the account of Noah isn't a fairy tale, but a true part of our history. Millions of non-believers. It's a speculative statement. It's subjective. I don't know how long that's going to take before they get there, but it's going to take a long time. I think if we took a poll of people who have visited AIG's Creation Museum, I think they would probably say, well, it's obvious that there were a whole lot more Christians there than there were unbelievers. Much more importantly, how will Ham's ark even prove to unbelievers that the account of Noah isn't a fairy tale? How does it prove it? I mean, they're going to say, well, I mean, it's entirely plausible. I touched on this earlier. They're going to say, well, so these men working for this long period of time using these methods could build this structure and you could get those animals in. It's not going to prove it. It will show to those who say that you couldn't, you know, get those animals in or whatever. I suppose it'll show that, yes, you could or something like that. But it's not going to prove the whole account of Noah anyway. I mean, because if you say the account of Noah, isn't he talking about then the biblical account, the destruction of the whole world by a worldwide flood, excepting Noah's family? And this was brought upon the world by God as a judgment on wicked mankind? And all except Noah's family were destroyed? Now, how does the AIG Ark prove that to millions of unbelievers? That the wrath of God was poured out that way and destroyed all mankind and around the world. And it was God's wrath. But then in the context of what Mr. Hamm just said, that is, what an incredible evangelistic opportunity. Just imagine millions of non-believers visiting the ark and realizing for the first time that the account of Noah isn't a fairy tale, but a true part of our history. In the context of that, because he goes on, it's the first step in witnessing the lost people who have either left the church or have never set foot inside of one. Them coming to his ark and supposedly proving the account of Noah isn't a fairy tale by this boat. Now, this is his long-preached, long-taught error again, a version of it. Here's the wisdom of man evangelism, which is opposed to the wisdom of God. If only this man, so gifted, so knowledgeable in science, would have stayed with the subject he's so gifted and educated with, instead of launching off into all of this preaching, all of this preaching of theologically unsound things. Now, many years ago, you may remember, I preached a message warning of this foundational error of Ham teaches. I used an article he had written at the time in which he flat out insisted it was all but useless to share the gospel with unbelievers until they were first convinced that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days. He did. You maybe remember the message. I can find it for you if you like, where he just decried that. We have to teach them this first. Yes, and the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Not saying we totally ignore the Creator and what can be known of Him. I'm just simply saying that's what He preached. And even there, you don't have to, as far as the Creator and what the creation reveals of Him, which mankind has rejected, you don't even have to do that. I'm just saying you wouldn't. You don't have to ignore it either, and sometimes it's good to bring that in, of course, but I'm just saying, the cross, preaching of the cross to the conscience, preaching sin, righteousness, judgment, the wrath to come, the way of salvation. Whether or not he's more modified now in the way he presents his error, Ham obviously still holds to it. What an incredible evangelistic opportunity. Just imagine millions of unbelievers visiting the ark and realizing for the first time that the account of Noah isn't the fairy tale, but a true part of our history. It's the first step in witnessing to lost people. The man Ken Ham speaks like a natural man in some ways, rather than a spiritual man discerning spiritual things. He insists that the natural senses discerning natural things and scientific evidences are not only essential to the effectual work of the Spirit of the Lord and the salvation of sinners, but that proving such things ought to precede the preaching of the gospel of Christ, which is further down the line, another step. Well, I'll tell you what proves, or what is a witness to lost sinners, what is a witness of the truth of the Word of God, the authority of God, the power of God. It's the fruit and effect of regeneration by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. That confounds the wisdom of man, makes it look foolish. And this is by reading, preaching, proclaiming the gospel of Christ Jesus, and Him crucified, unadorned by all of this, all these other things, all this sensual nonsense, and carnal methods. This is what testifies to the world of the truth of God's word, and certainly the truth of the gospel, because Mr. Hamm said that this ark will testify or show the world the truth of the gospel of Christ. No, regeneration. That's what's the witness and the testimony. The fruit and effect of regeneration is what makes the wisdom of the world be seen to be foolishness and displays the power, the wisdom of God in the regeneration of sinners. It testifies of the truth of God's word cover to cover. We are nowhere in the scriptures taught or remotely led to believe that the first and necessary step to witnessing to the lost is to first prove that the account of Noah isn't a fairy tale. Or for that matter, to prove by scientific evidence the age of the earth, or that evolution is utterly unscriptural nonsense, which it is. But we are nowhere remotely led to believe, that that has to be the first step. Before we preach the gospel. Not at all. For Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Look what it says the world wants. The false religionists and the world, the unbelieving world, Paul didn't give it to them. Ministers there didn't give it to them. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Those whom Christ, by the Spirit, effectually calls to faith in him. I'm hoping you will help us build the ark and point millions of souls to Christ by taking just two actions today. First, will you please sign the flag? And we will display your signed flag. Secondly, would you prayerfully consider money? He goes on, talks about money, 25, 35. Later, he says, maybe even 5,000. And then we had this unscriptural, I think, arrogant and obnoxious declaration by Mr. Hamm. I really don't think there's a better way to reach America with biblical truth. Not a better way than by building our Ark Encounter. Especially when so much of our nation is in rebellion against God, his authority, and his word. This is despicable. By what he said, Ham utterly shows contempt for it. Taking the gospel of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ and him crucified, out into the world, sharing it with sinners. He utterly contemns the faithful church going out in faith, hope, and love with the gospel of Christ Jesus and him crucified. In truth, he denigrates the simple, pure gospel and the convicting, convincing, heart-enlightening, soul-saving, effectual power of the Holy Spirit. He shows disdain for the faithful service and sacrifice of a great company of Christian men, a worthy company of Christian men, women, and young people all across the centuries. I really don't think there's a better way to reach America with biblical truth than by building our Ark Encounter. Especially, he goes on, when so much of our nation is in rebellion against God, his authority, and his word. Well, since so much of our nation is in rebellion against God, his authority, and his word, this is the way. There's not a better way to reach these people than with this big ark thing that they pay to get into. Well, isn't it fortunate that the pre-Reformation evangelists and church such as the Waldensian missionaries or the Reformation missionaries, or the open-air Welsh preachers of the 18th century awakening in that country, or the evangelists such as Whitfield and Wesley. Isn't it fortunate that they did not have to witness to Christ to nations and peoples, quote, in rebellion to God, his authority, and his word? Otherwise, they would have had to build a big ark. But they weren't apparently in that situation. Or what about the missionaries to the Indians in this country, such as John Eliot, Kirkland, Pond Brothers, the Whitmans, and so forth? What about Jonathan Edwards and those preachers of the Great Awakening, the tenets? What about them? What about the missionaries to other dark corners, truly dark corners of the world, such as Carey, Judson, Taylor, the Moffats, the martyred John Williams, the Pattons, John and Betty Stamm, also martyred, and a long line of choice servants of the Lord who actually went to the heathen world with the gospel? It's safe to say the nations of people they went to certainly were in rebellion against God, yet they never even thought of trying to win souls to Christ Jesus and bring them into the way of righteousness by the sights and sounds and experience of some extravagant sensual exhibit. That was the method of the Romanists. Read your history. It was the Romanists that went to the Indians and tried to impress them with all sorts of sensual, and did impress them, all sorts of sensual displays and huge crucifixes and sights and sounds and all sorts of gaudy things. That's the way of the Romanists. P.S., he says, our children are being taught that Noah's Ark isn't true, that the Bible isn't true, that there's no Christ, no hope, and no salvation. The answer to that is simple. Christians, stop sinning by giving your children over to unbelievers and even blasphemers of our God and his word. It would seem the implied lesson from Ham is this: if you choose to leave your children, your lambs, in the care of Christ-denying wolves, ravening wolves, to be educated, just make sure you support the AIG Ark. Maybe do atonement that way, I guess. And if at all possible, bring your family there, shell out the entrance fee. Save your children by submitting them to the sight and sounds and experience of Ham's Ark. Going on with Mr. Ham's letter, but the Bible tells us that, and listen carefully to this. This is audacious. The Bible tells us that by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, of course, this is a corrupted Bible translation, but moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Hebrews 11, verse 7, today it's my prayer that you will, quote, move with godly fear, unquote, and join us here at AIG as we build the life-sized ark and point our lost culture to Jesus Christ. Now, that's reprehensible. Ken Ham more than infers that if you would save your household, your children, from the wrath of God to come, you'll be moved by a godly fear. And so you'll join AIG to build the ark. That is, you'll give more money. In doing so, you'll also point our lost culture to Christ. That's what he said. He said, today, if it's my prayer, you will move with godly fear and join us. After having spoken of how Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And you'll point our lost culture to Christ. I will tell you that one billboard with the gospel message, a solid gospel message, one humble, faithful, bold Christian consistently sharing the gospel by tracts, booklets, holding a scripture sign, a large public event, for instance, or sharing gospel one-on-one, these will effectually point, to use Ham's expression, far more people to Jesus Christ than Ken Ham's expensive multimedia boat will. Why? I'll say it again. Because such a faithful witness by a faithful Christian out of love for the Lord and the lost will be blessed by the Lord, and the Spirit will work effectually to accomplish the Lord's purposes. The Spirit of the Lord will not effectually use unscriptural means of evangelism, the wisdom of man, then. I will read it once again. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 17. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? None of us. By the Spirit of the Lord and his grace we are. For we are not as many. This is why. To the savor. Unto God and in every place. Sweet savor of Christ. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. I said, mentioned even that he used, of course, corrupt translation, what I just read to you. Now, in closing, and give me just a little time to close here. Sometimes you say in closing, people say he's going to wrap this up in a minute or so. That's the last thing I want to deal with. And I will move along. Now in closing, I want to briefly return to just this one of other grievous errors which Ken Ham teaches. I spoke much of it already, but I just want to zero in on it. The ark AIG has built is a replica of the real ark. Mr. Ham has repeatedly made the claim in the letter, other places, that his ark is a vital tool, needed vital tool, which will cause the world to know that God's word, the Bible, is true. The whole word of God, all of the Old and New Testament scriptures, every jot and tittle. In the editorial, he said, we will powerfully show that just as the account of Noah's flood did actually happen, so did the rest of what we read in the scriptures, especially the gospel message preached by Christ in the New Testament. So that's what he's saying, isn't he? Of course he is. The ark will prove the whole, every jot and tittle is the revealed, preserved, inerrant word of God. He also said the world needs to know God's word is true in the context of this ark, the need for it. Also this, same context, your participation from home is requested to dedicate our life-size Noah's ark and show a doubting world that God's word is true. And then the editorial, we will powerfully show that just as the account of Noah's flood did actually happen, so did the rest of what we read in the scriptures, especially the gospel message preached by Christ in the New Testament. I read it for twice for emphasis. Ark is a natural object. It was built by men over this long period of time, the Bible sets forth. While Noah and his family were strengthened and upheld by God's grace, there's nothing of the supernatural in the actual construction project. That's part of the deal here. This is what he's showing. They got together and they built, by at least similar methods, the same boat. A replica of the same boat. There's nothing of the supernatural there. How is this replica of the original ark going to prove that the Bible is true, the whole Bible, which is filled with the supernatural works of the Lord and heavenly spiritual truth? How is the ark going to prove what Hebrews 11, verse 3 declares? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen are not made of things which do appear. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And what of the translation of Enoch? The parting of the Red Sea, the fire and the pillar, the manna and the quail from heaven, the visitation of God on Mount Sinai, the brazen serpent, and what happened there, the parting of the Jordan, the day the sun stood still, the exploits of Samson, the fire that fell on Elijah's altar, the feeding of Elijah by the ravens, the translation of Elijah, the floating axe head, the feeding of the widow, Jonah and the whale, the healing of Naaman, all the other supernatural acts of God recorded in the Old Testament times. How does the AIG ark, that physical carnal display, show, prove, convince the natural man dead in trespasses and sins that the supernatural works of the Lord recorded in the Bible are actually true? Even more to the point, how does Ken Ham and his ark, by his ark, prove the scriptural account of Christ's conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin is true? How does he prove it by that ark, that physical ark? How does it prove that Christ Jesus was and continues to be both God and man, two natures in one person? How does it prove his miracles, his temptation by Satan? How does it prove Satan? How does it prove the fall of Satan and the angels? How does it prove angels? How does it prove that Christ perfectly obeyed the moral law and thought, word, and deed for us, in intent and in all that's required and all that's forbidden? How does it prove? The AIG ark proved that Christ Jesus wrought out a perfect justifying righteousness, which will be accounted legally and judicially by God as belonging to each sinner who trusts in Christ. How does it prove that? How does the ark prove that Jesus Christ propitiated once and for all the whole wrath against those for whom he suffered, by that wrath poured out without mixture into his soul? How does the AIG ark prove that Christ Jesus made a full satisfaction, redeemed the people, and purchased for them an eternal inheritance? How does it prove that he rose from the dead after 3 days? How does it prove he ascended into heaven, where he ever liveth as the people's prophet, priest, and king, and the head of the church? How does the AIG ark prove to lost sinners what the scriptures declare of heaven, of hell, of the judgment to come, of the Holy Spirit, who dwells in believers as the earnest of their salvation, the indwelling witness of their adoption as a child of God, and who is their comforter and teacher? How does the AIG ark prove what the one who has believed in Jesus Christ experienced? That is, being quickened to spiritual everlasting life. How does the AIG ark prove what the Bible declares about the resurrection of the dead, or that Pentecost actually took place, or the revelation of John, and so forth? It's spectacularly unscriptural to insist that an object made by men of natural materials, which any reasonable man knows could be built by men over that long period of time, proves to unbelievers that the whole Bible, the Word of God, including all the supernatural sovereign works of the Lord recorded in it, and all the spiritual truths proclaimed, are true. I came to the understanding, the conviction, the unshakable belief that all of the Word of God was true when I got saved and was indwelt by the Spirit of truth. This natural thing, this ark, the creation itself does make a testimony of certain things about God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, Romans 1, beginning verse 18, and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So even that which can be known of God and is manifested in them, testified by their conscience, fallen man turns away from. We're talking about the creation now and the witness in the conscience. Ken's ark is going to be different somehow, and prove to them everything in the Word of God is true. This teaching of Ham's, this claim that the use of his ark, for that matter, even right science, is able to prove to sinners that the Word of God, all the Word of God, is true. This is the wisdom of man. It's the wisdom of man to attempt to use, see, these things, use these things to use seeable natural objects to prove unseeable spiritual heavenly truths. This wisdom of man, which Ken Ham is teaching, will be shown to be foolishness. But the wisdom of God and the salvation of men by the gospel, that's the wisdom and power of God. God has not chosen the wisdom of man to save sinners, nor has he chosen to pander to the proud wisdom of man to justify and prove his word is true. Where is the Ark of the Covenant? Why didn't he save that? Where is the manna and Aaron's rod that budded? Where is the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God? God did not preserve them. He preserved his word, which the Spirit uses in the heart of men. He didn't preserve those physical objects to prove his word is true. Where's the stable in which Christ was born? Where's the cross of Christ? Where's his tomb? Where's the original ark? God did not save these things or any such thing. Of course, men are apt to turn objects used by God for his purposes into objects worshipped by men. They did that with the bronze serpent, which was a type, of course, of Christ. You know about that. But good King Hezekiah had to destroy it. 2 Kings 18, verse 4, he removed the high places, and this was by the will of God, and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces, right along with the rest, the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. And so it became something that was actually evil. That bronze serpent, that one thing that survived from all that time in the wilderness, for instance. Where are all these things? God has not preserved them. God does not pander to the proud minds and wisdom of man. He works spiritually in unseen ways in the heart. Not unheard ways as we preach the gospel, but unseen ways in the heart by the Spirit. This is the wisdom and power of God and salvation by the gospel. But more to the point, it was not the wisdom of God to prove heavenly spiritual things, and is not the wisdom of God with earthly carnal things, and carnal things can never prove to natural man that the word of God is truly the word of God. That's the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 through 14. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We need the Spirit of the Lord to teach us spiritual things, the indwelling Spirit. It is that same Spirit of the Lord that shines the light of the gospel into the heart of the dead sinner. And this is by the gospel. That sinner is called according to the testimony of his own conscience that he has sinned against God. He is called to seek the Lord while he may be found. But this business that we can take something like this ark and prove that the whole word of God is true, this physical object, this is wrong. Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689, we may be moved and induced by the testimony of the Church of God to a high and reverent esteem of the Holy Scriptures and the heavenliness of the matter, the efficacy of the doctrine, the majesty of the style, the consent of all the parts, the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God, the full discovery it makes of the only way of man's salvation, and many other incomparable excellencies and entire perfections thereof, are arguments whereby it doth abundantly evidence itself to be the word of God. So we make these arguments, but going on, because this is scriptural, yet notwithstanding our full persuasion and assurance of the infallible truth and divine authority thereof is from the inward work of the Holy Spirit bearing witness by and with the word in our hearts. Westminster Larger Catechism, a little shorter, but comprehends the same thing. The scriptures manifest themselves to be the word of God by their majesty and purity, by the consent of all the parts and the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God by their light and power to convince and convert sinners, to comfort and build up believers unto salvation. But the Spirit of God bearing witness by and with the scriptures in the heart of man is alone able fully to persuade it that they are the very word of God. And the first step is the Holy Spirit effectually shining the light of the gospel into the heart of the fallen sinner, working faith, repentance, belief, faith, and life. Ken Ham is teaching, promoting, and spreading a very grievous error when he makes such statements as he has made concerning the purpose and effect of AIG ARC. Further, he is subverting the gospel as the power of God into salvation, the wisdom of God and the power of God into salvation of sinners. The gospel and the preaching and sharing of the gospel is the instrumental cause of salvation. The blood and righteousness of Christ is the meritorious cause, the salvation of sinners, and the effectual cause is the Holy Spirit with the Word, who shines the light of the gospel into the dead, spiritually dark heart of the sinner and creates faith, saving faith, and quickens the sinner to life. That is the gospel of Christ shined in the heart by the Holy Spirit. From that point on, as a spiritual man, that person then knows and has a heartfelt, abiding conviction and the unshakable assurance that the scriptures are the word of God and the very words of God. You're not going to show the world, prove to the world that the scriptures are, cover to cover, the word of God by this ark. 1 Peter 1, the verses 23 through 25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. Grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. That's what will happen to Mr. Ham's ark. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Exercise your senses. Use the word of God. Search the scriptures. Compare spiritual things to spiritual things. Have a right hermeneutic. The Christian faith is spiritual. Our weapons are spiritual. The instrumentality that God uses to save sinners and then convince those men and women of the truth of every word of his word, this is spiritual. It's the gospel. The AIG ARC encounter, the claims made about it by Ken Ham, the reckless unscriptural teachings about the wisdom of man evangelism, which it exemplifies, the mega ministry's trashy fundraising campaign for it, the corrupted Bible translation used in it, the CCM artists used in the grand opening, the use of expensive, sensual, spectacular, carnal things to draw sinners supposedly, or to draw sinners in, rather than the faithful church going into the world with the gospel. This is all a textbook example of what ails evangelicalism in America today. The hugely expensive, spectacular ARC encounter is not a faithful evangelical evangelistic witness, nor will it, as Ham claims, bring the church and the world back to the authority of the Word of God. It will do just the opposite. This, I believe, is easily discerned by the facts of the matter and compared to the word of the Lord. All of this, it goes on and on. This is just the latest, because people do not want to return. Evangelicals do not want to turn to the old paths, wherein is the good way, and find peace for their souls. But they said, we will not return to the old paths, the trustworthy spiritual weapons. Go out to lost sinners. Pray and wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen.